AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hey everyone, this is Steph Sober, a weekly podcast for those in need of some sober support. I'm your host, Steph, and in this episode, I have a chat with the sober extrovert herself, Fran. I didn't realize how much I needed this conversation and connection, but when Fran reached out to me, I could feel an energy from her and I wanted more. I've mentioned it before, but I'm introverted, and so my sobriety journey and the things I did to get where I am today look different than someone like Fran, who's extroverted. But one thing that is similar between us is the desire for connection. Fran and I dive into what worked for each of us and how important it is to listen to that inner voice and do what makes you feel comfortable. This conversation is full of realizations and emotion. At 3 months sober, Fran is already doing so much to spread awareness around addiction. She started hosting workshops in London, and her Instagram lives bring awareness to the similarities amongst the sober community. I have included Fran's Instagram handle in the show notes so that you can give her a follow. Fran, thank you. I will forever cherish this conversation, and I am so grateful our paths crossed. You are such a beam of light, and I am excited to see where sobriety takes you. This is Fran Sober. Hey, Fran, how are you?
I am doing so, so good. I've been up literally since the crack of dawn. Oh. And I'm really, really excited to just to talk to you today. I don't even know how long we've been connected for. Do you?
I don't either. But I am like thrilled you reached out because I'm really bad at doing that. I'm extremely introverted. And then when I see someone's name, like the sober extrovert, I'm like, ooh, I want to connect with her. She'll bring me out of my shell.
It's so funny because that's what you said, isn't it? When you said, oh, well, I'm like the sober introvert. So we connect. And I think we followed each other for a little while, but we just didn't connect, like, you know, DMs and stuff. There was just a bit of interaction. I'm really excited to be here. This is actually my first like recording, if you like, or me being on any podcast. I've kind of been saving it for the right person. And yeah, it's the first time I've shared will be sharing my story. So
okay, I wasn't aware of that. So now the pressure's on.
No, not at all.
I'm honored. But yeah, my podcast is pretty casual, so we'll just conversate, learn more about your story so we can get that out, because it's so, I mean, I'm sure you know, you do a lot of lives and you have people come on and share their stories, and that's how we connect in the sober community, right? Like hearing someone's story and hearing ourselves in it, it's like a hug. It's like, okay, like I'm not alone in this. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love the fact that you said hug, because it's that connection, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's just like a mirror. That's how I always look at it. That, you know, the reason I started the lives was to connect with people, but also to share their stories to other people that maybe don't have that connection yet, but want it. I'm just so in awe of the sober community. Like I say it to everyone. It's such a core part of my life now that I don't see a world without that. I meet lovely people all the time and I'm inspired daily. And, you know, and you have those bad days and, you know, wherever you're at in your cycle or kind of that stage of sobriety, it's just Yeah, it's really, really inspiring.
It is, because it's really lonely in the beginning. Did you feel lonely in the beginning? I mean, you're an extrovert, so maybe you didn't, but I was so lonely in the beginning because that's who I am at to my core. Like when I'm working through big things and heavy things, and this was probably the heaviest thing of my life, I go inward. I'm very like, I got this. I go inward. That's just automatically what I do. But 99 days is actually when I started my Instagram at day 99. I was like white knuckling through sobriety at that point. And I'm like, I have to, like, Stephanie, you have to push yourself to find people because I knew even as an introvert, I'm not going to be able to do this alone. I have got to make connections. So, how was it at the beginning for you being an
Yeah.
extrovert? I have to know.
I love that you asked that. I have a feeling that you're gonna kind of bring up questions that I probably never thought about, but and I'm gonna take away a lot from this because it's just I love anything that's thought provoking and that gets me thinking about, early days or even the past or kind of the future. And yeah, so anyway, I'll answer you. The beginning was extremely lonely. And like it's interesting you mentioned about the extroverted side of things because sometimes I think there can be like a misconception about kind of extroverted people because I've always been this way. Even as a child, I was quite shy, but I think that was more to do with being young and inexperienced. But I've always just like really loved expressing myself and it's very outward, and I kind of can't help that. Apart from maybe in certain social situations, you need to learn boundaries, social boundaries. But in the beginning, it was probably the loneliest I'd felt in my life, apart from the darkest stages of my drinking. And I think anyone can relate to that lonely side of it because you're starting something new and it's just you in it. You rarely hear about couples or friends that start day one together. Our drinking tends to be quite isolated at times, and so is our addiction. And then that means that our recovery starts in isolation of others as well. And I was very ashamed. I didn't want to share that with people I knew. So I started the blog as a coping mechanism and a way of connecting with people that I didn't know because I knew I needed that connection with someone, like human connection, and with for me has always been such a important integral part of my life. And because I couldn't do it with people I knew, Instagram and a sober account was the way to learn and the way to connect, which took away some of the loneliness. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you start it right away though? Or was this, did you give it time? Or were you just like, okay, I'm 2 days sober. I need connection. 'Cause like I said, it took me 99 days.
Wow. I always find this is kind of crazy when I think about it, but I started it on day 12. So the first 2 weeks kind of flew by and not no they were very long days actually in fact, but I mean I just was trying to get through the hours and the physical reactions that my body was having and just stay sober. So I couldn't think of much else, and I just also trying to process whether this was going to be forever, or just a dry January. So I started it on day four, 12 because I just needed to connect with people.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
And find out what's out there in this sober world that I didn't know existed.
So
And
for you, like resources for connection is people. Like that's where you're going to get your information, right? Is that what I'm hearing? Because for me, It was books, podcasts, anything that I could do in solitude. So this is really interesting.
I love that because I actually did do podcasts as well. I went into like a crazy, I've wasted 15 years of my life drinking. So I need to spend every waking hour now committing myself to sobriety. So I listened to podcasts, I read books, and I did the Instagram. I also went on holiday in the first 2 weeks. I'm very extreme all or nothing person. So I wanted to purposely put myself in unknown territory because I didn't want to wake up in 2 months or a few weeks and be like, I'm in the pub and this is really scary and I need to go home. I know it's not the classic way that a lot of people do it, but I was so destined to find out quickly if I could handle it. So yeah, I put myself in a lot of uncomfortable situations on purpose to test myself.
Wow.
And yeah, I know it's really, I didn't know I was doing that at the time until I look back. And I'm like, you crazy.
I couldn't even imagine. No. But that's what I love about sobriety and the sober community and just learning, because when you get sober, you're just looking for direction because you want it to work. You want it to stick. Like when you're finally ready and you quickly learn that there's a million ways to get sober. And that's like, these conversations are so empowering because somebody who maybe listens to my podcast, who's an extrovert and heard what I did, that they're like, that sounds awful. Like you didn't really talk to anybody and you quit hanging out with people. Like, how did you survive? You know, but then to have you on and for you to say, I pushed myself to go do the things that I love to do so that I knew I could get through them. I needed to do that for myself. So it's just to show it doesn't matter. There's a million ways to skin a cat, right? It doesn't matter. We all can support each other and the outcome is the same, even if we're all doing things completely different.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you pointed that out because that's the one thing that I've taken away from the sober community and connecting with so many different people on, you know, their recovery and the tools they use to stay sober and to get better and live fulfilling lives is it doesn't matter how you get there. It's respecting other people's ways and learning what works for you, because I had to do it my way. I had to learn which podcasts I liked and how it resonated with my story. And like, I had to do a lot of writing and the Instagram was, I didn't even think about helping other people, obviously, at the beginning. I just did to connect and, you know, like if you're around people that drink all the time, every day, and they're just going out getting wasted, then they're not going to be the people that are going to inspire you they're just going to add to the cravings. So I needed to be around people that had done a year sober, that had done a month, that wanted to get sober, that shared positive messages and negative facts about alcoholism and any tool that I could find within any environment to facilitate that journey. That's what I latched onto. Yeah. Like I also joined AA on the 1st of January. So that was also a huge tool for me. That was what changed my narrative immediately. That one meeting and that one moment. Like, I honestly don't think I would ever be in the position I am today if I never stepped foot into that meeting. But there's lots of tools around everything. Going, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I love that the whole thing, find what works for you, because I knew AA would never work for me because being in a room full of people is actually one of the things that made me want to drink, right? Like, it was one of the reasons I drank. I am married to an extrovert and our lifestyle is hanging out with people. Like we go out and do things or have lots of people at the house, or yeah, he would take me to work events. I needed to drink to get through that as an introvert because I developed in my mind, I don't need to do that. Like I know that now, but as a drinker in my mind, dependent on alcohol. And I started drinking really young at 14, which I've heard that's the same age you drank. And there's so many people that, by the way, that I interview, 14 seems to be the age. And my daughter's 14. So believe me, I'm like very like conscious of that. But to not ever learn how to socialize otherwise, the thought of going to an AA meeting for me in early sobriety was like, there's no way I could do that without having a drink. So I really then said, okay, but I want to do this. And there's got to be other ways. Because I mean, sometimes people just think that's the only way, you know, and maybe they would try to push themselves to do that. But then that's when, yeah, like the books and the podcasts, and it was actually a book, Quit Like a Woman. Yeah. That one is the one that suggested Instagram in her book. She suggested go to Instagram. There's a whole community. Because I wasn't a big social media person at all. And so I was like, I could do that. Like that's, and then just people would just reach out to me like you know, they would just DM me. I'm like, whoa, like, okay, I have a new friend. And you know, they broke the ice and like, that's all I need, honestly, is someone just to break the ice. And then I had a handful of friends and people that I could DM when times were hard. And I mean, God, it's just huge. Like it really got me through after day 99 and obviously where I am today. I'm 15 months sober and going so strong because of that community. I owe it to that community.
I love that. And I just like, I love the way that every time I hear people's stories of how there's always one thing, and sometimes there's a multitude, but there seems to be one thing that stands out for them. And, you know, I can't stress it enough, this sober community and that connection with people, you know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you really are a bit more shy or not scared, but, you know, you're a bit more uncomfortable in huge social situations, or whether you thrive in them, there's a connection can just be with one person. Mm-hmm. And ability to do it online these days, that really does help people who don't want to be in a room of full of others. You know, I think AA works for me because it's I've never thought of it in this way, but I think the extroverted part of me.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Does thrive when I'm in a room full of people. And I've never thought of it like that. I just thought extrovert means being really like outgoing and wearing everything inside on the outside. That's the way I always thought about it. But then, yeah, that just occurred to me when you said it. It's the connection side of AA. It was the first place I heard people tell the truth about their feelings and about addiction. And then I came online, obviously 2 weeks later, and joined the sober community on Instagram, which is, of course, another place that people tell the truth and share their stories. So I'm lucky to have both tools, really, really, really grateful for both of them.
Yeah. And it is more of like the energy thing, probably, like you said, like just being in a room full of people as an extrovert, you probably left there just feeling like your batteries were recharged. Where if I went to an AA meeting, I would take all that on, like everyone's energy, I would take it on differently. It would deplete me and I'd have to go home and sleep for like 2 days. But that's the thing, like to know that about yourself is so big, and to know that and not be ashamed of it, right? Like it's probably a really big reason why I drank. And actually you just having your realization, I'm having one now talking this through.
Love that.
I know, you know, that's a big reason why I drank, you know, because of the fact that like I was ashamed that everyone around me could be in a room full of people and I couldn't. Like when you're surrounded by others, that's what their personality is, you start to think there's something wrong with you. And when you start drinking at a young age, alcohol's always the answer for things. Alcohol's always the way to get through it or to become someone you're not. And that is one thing that my sobriety has done, is like, let me be myself and own it and like not care if it's okay that Fran's extroverted. She can still be your friend. Like she can still see value in what you have. And so I say it all the time, it's just opened this gate for me. And it's just so freeing from all these little boxes and cells that I put myself in. And alcohol kept me there because it fed that negative narrative in my head.
I just love that you said that, because it's spreading awareness of, you know, there's so many reasons why we drink, but, you know, one of them can be that to alleviate or that social anxiety, and it gives you a false sense of confidence. And who doesn't want an extrovert of confidence? I mean, introverted, extroverted or not. Mm-hmm. What I just thought about when you said that actually just came to me was, I think that I ended up being so used to being the extroverted one in the group that alcohol almost became a way that I could magnify that. And if I wasn't feeling up to scratch on particular days, I started to almost fulfill a persona, and I had to be the party girl. I had to be that person that was the first one introducing everyone to everyone, and the first one pouring the drinks and taking the shots. And it's very strange, because I would get social anxiety about going to these events as well. And I think it wasn't about being around people. It was knowing deep down that I'm going to get wasted today and I'm going to make a fool of myself. But everyone might be okay with it, because, you know, unless I become really harmful because I'm having a good time and I'm out there. But I always found that it just magnified my flaws and a lot of my shortcomings, and I ended up being very egotistical and opinionated and repetitive, all the things that everyone becomes. But it definitely became a tool for me as well, which I thought was helping me be a social butterfly and fit into this persona I'd always been. And it was doing the absolute opposite. It just took me a long, long time to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, you had this role that everyone expected you to play. And so that's how you kept up with it.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't even know, like, I'm not saying that they necessarily said to me, like my friends or peers or people I didn't know, but it's that persona you create for yourself and that self-expectation that, you know, oh, I need to be fun today. I need to be a positive and my energy needs to fill the room. And I was having conversations with parts of myself that didn't need to happen. I didn't need to be anyone but myself. And I didn't need alcohol to be myself. And I just wish I could have seen that earlier. But at least I'm starting to see that today. And I don't ever want to just run over the past and who I wasn't, because I have every opportunity now to become that person. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to right my wrongs of the past and learn from my mistakes and just grow and grow and grow. So I don't have to have, you know, a lot more memories of me making a complete fool of myself drunk at a party that I'm going to regret. So, yeah, I always think, I always say everything happens for a reason. So I wouldn't be here talking to you if I hadn't had so many of those experiences. Do you know what I mean?
I know. There's a lot of things that I think we all would love to change if we could. But then when you stop and think of it that way, you're like, no, I don't want to change any of that, because it wouldn't make me the strong person I am today. And I wouldn't have met so many incredible people in the sober world. And I never imagined that. And I think a lot of people, when they first get sober, I mean, that's just kind of a scary thing because you have your drinking friends and those relationships seem to be pretty strong, but you soon learn as you meet other sober people and actually connect with people for who they really are, instead of like, let's just connect by getting together and having drinks, where you're just, you know, you saying as an extrovert, like you're already, you know, trying to play this role. And then me as an introvert, I'm trying to play a role. And so we have like these masks on and no one's ever really getting like down into the nitty gritty. I mean, we think we're having these deep conversations, but we're really not. Like, I have had more meaningful conversations with people in the sober community, and I never thought that would happen. I didn't understand how that could happen. And so like, I anybody listening to this that's thinking about getting sober or newly sober, and that's like a big fear, just take a deep breath. I mean, you are going to find your people. I guarantee you will find your people, because everyone's got the mask off, being true to themselves, and the energy, you just connect.
Yeah. No, like I couldn't agree. Honestly, Steph, like what the way that you've just put it, I think that will stay with me, because the masks is, it's such an accurate portrayal of what goes on when, you know, you're, when you rely on drinking and using that as a tool to think you can conversate and have confidence. And I was just speaking to somebody today about that. I went to my friend's house the other night, and I honestly can say that when I came home, I thought about her, and it was like I saw her for the first time. Like I could appreciate her sensitivity. I looked at her and her partner, and I could see why they were so special for each other. I could see how kind and like loving and attentive she was. I looked at everything we'd been through, and I was seeing her through like a magnifying glass, but really I was just seeing her for everything I never really had the time or the kind of tools to see before. And it was so simple. But just going back to that conversation about connection, is it's in its truest form, I feel now. And just like you said, when I was drinking, I just couldn't, everything was enhanced and everything's, you know, repetitive, and it's just times 100. But that doesn't make it real. If anything, it's the opposite. It just feels good. It feels fun. It's all temporary, because the more you drink, the more you forget, the more you loosen up. But I find now that when you meet someone and you really listen to what they're saying, you open up naturally and authentically, because you're really hearing them and you're seeing who they truly are without the mask, without the pretense, without the lies and that exaggeration. Like you can just be yourself. And that's when I say the truest form of that connection. It literally gets me going, and I'm in awe of it, because this is a friend I've known for like almost 10 years, and we've always been close, but I just saw something like a sparkle in her the other day. And I was so grateful for her. And it was the weirdest thing, because I came home feeling so content. And I haven't even told her this. but I was just processing it. But yeah, it's just what you said. It's the realness and the authenticity of that connection. And that's what I want forever. I want to keep finding that in people naturally.
Yeah. It makes it so much easier too. I mean, you think once you've surrendered to sobriety and knowing that like, this is it, like I'm not going back to ever drinking again. Like I want this for myself. There's a whole grieving process that you go through. I mean, I remember when it full on hit me, I was actually in the shower, and I just realized that version of me is gone. Like she's gone. And I cried. I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed, because she's the one who had to get me sober. You know what I mean? Like that scared, like I'm going to get emotional talking about it now. That scared girl who like didn't know anything else but alcohol. Like nothing else. Like, that's how she functioned. That's how she coped. That's how she did everything. That's how she met her husband. That's just like how she got through being a parent. I mean, it was everything. And to realize that she got me sober, but now I have to let her go. I mean, it's like powerful, right? Like, you have to thank her and then you have to let her go because she can't hang out anymore. You know, like that version cannot, she can't be part of you. And it's like,
this is the third time I've cried today.
But it's so true. And I think it's extremely important because I think a lot of people, when that grief comes in, because it happens, it's going to happen to everyone in a different time or whatever. I just want people to know you have to let yourself grieve that. It's very important so that you can let in all the light and let in all the good stuff now, because that version of me, she was really, 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 really critical and negative. And, but she was there a really long time, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you for sharing that with me. It's, do you know, like this happens to me so much when I speak to people about their past, that the similarities are just uncanny. Like, it was just the other day that I saw like a picture of me like 9 years ago on this particular day, and Steph, I'm telling you, like, I broke down, and I haven't broken down like that since I've been sober. And it's 3 months today, by the way, which is so funny that we're on this call today, because I didn't even plan that. We just, it's a coincidence. But the reason it was so upsetting for me, and you've just kind of hit the nail on the head, I guess it's that grieving process. You know, it was like I saw myself for the first time. I looked at the photo and I wasn't sad in the photo. I don't look sad in the photo, but I just saw myself. I was 23 and I saw all my pain. I saw all my childhood. I saw someone that was suffering so much. And then I realized that for the next 9 years, she would use alcohol as a tool to mask that pain and to exude false confidence instead of ever really getting to grips with the self-awareness and acknowledgement. And I felt sad for her, and I couldn't stop crying for literally like 2 days. And, you know, today I kind of thought to myself, like, thank God you can finally see her, because even if it took 9 years, like, you see her for who she was. And just like you said, that girl is the person that got me to this person. And I honestly do believe, Steph, like I said this to my mum the other day, that I was meant to be an alcoholic just so I could experience sobriety today. Like, I wouldn't change any of it, like, genuinely, because I've literally been given like a second chance. And like, I can't stress that enough. And I know it's only 3 months. I shouldn't say only, but to anyone that's listening and, you know, or doesn't think they can do it, like, I never dreamed at day one, like, that I would be 3 months sober. So, you know, you just got to keep going. And just like you said, like, grieve that person that's gone, and learn from that person so that you can become another version of yourself, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the true version. It's crazy that it happened around 3 months, because that's about when it happened for me.
Wow.
So there must be something to that. I mean, I think obviously everyone experiences things at different times, but I do think there's certain things that do happen very, like, timeline-wise, very similar. I mean,
yeah.
There's got to be something to it as you are you know, you're coming back to life, basically. Your brain's functioning again and your emotions are bubbling up and you're like seeing clearly and not foggy. That's when the stuff starts happening. But you're right. It's honoring that person, because as much as we don't want to be them anymore, you have to have gratitude for what they did to get you here, because it's not easy. I mean, they're the ones who went through the really hard, hard times with alcohol. We get to do the easy stuff. We get to, you know, we get to enjoy the, you know, the joy of life and connecting with new people and like being ourselves. I mean, that's amazing. That's the amazing part.
That's such a good way of putting that. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget that, honestly. Mm-hmm. So that it is so profound. And like, you know, I love an extended metaphor. But yeah, it's just, I think, learning to connect your past with your current, your present, and but also being able to let go and just appreciate the process, you know, because it's like a balance. Like, you know, I'm a very firm believer that you can't progress unless you delve into yourself and you address the past and the things that have happened to you, and really understand why you are in the position that you're in, or why you feel the way that you do. I mean, that's why a lot of people go to therapy or have different kind of tools for their, for whatever recovery they are seeking. But at the same time, it's very important to address the past, internalize it, and move on. You can't live in the past forever. My drinking, it was a constant reoccurrence of living in the now. It was living in the moment, never caring about the future, but regurgitating all the pain of the past again and again and again. And in my early days of my recovery, I started to realize, oh, it's not the past again coming up, is it? And it was, but in a very different context, because I was actually getting to deal with it and process it so that I could move on. Yeah, I think that's how I've got where I am today. And it's still an ongoing process, you know, it's definitely nowhere near over.
Yeah. But that's the, like, when everyone says you got to do the work, that's doing the work, because you can't just get sober on focusing on all the reasons you want to be sober. It helps, right? It helps knowing, like, yeah, I want to be sober because I want to be a better mom. I don't want to be hungover anymore. I don't want to have anxiety. But you have to really dive into the reasons you drank, because that's where the magic happens. That's doing the work. That's like getting in deep and sitting there and feeling the things that you never allowed yourself to feel before and working through that. I mean, that was the biggest awareness I had right out the gate about myself, is that because I had horrible anxiety. That's actually what finally like did me in. I was like, I cannot be this anxious anymore. And I figured out that alcohol actually makes you more anxious. Like, this is like, I never even knew that, honest to God. Like, and I, now that I know it, and I'm like, other people knew that, and no one's like telling, like, I'm suffering from anxiety attacks and I'm drinking to help them, and the drinking is actually what's causing that. Oh my gosh, what a nightmare. But anyway, you know, and it was just to avoid feeling it. And so actually, at 7 months sober, I got a tattoo on my first tattoo ever on my arm right here.
Oh, God.
And it says, feel it all.
I love that.
It's just like this post-it note reminder on my arm, because I instantly, anytime I'm any uncomfortable feeling, I instantly want to get a hit of dopamine somewhere, because I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel it. And so it was learning new ways to work those emotions out.
Okay.
Instead of like reaching for my phone and scrolling, or, you know, reaching for a drink, which was no longer an option. But we sometimes find new things that maybe aren't really good options either to kind of give us that boost. So what are some things when you have those past little gremlins creeping in, what are some things that you do to kind of like work those emotions through?
So this is such a good question, actually. I am super like alert and conscious now, like in my sobriety, of not overindulging in practices that are going to be unhealthy for my recovery. Like, my recovery is so important and sacred to me that, but I'm human, right? I just want to say that because I'm going to get into it. I'm just very alert. Like, if I do something too much or a very repetitive one day, for example, like, for example, TV. So I don't watch TV hardly ever. Like, maybe I'll watch an hour or two a week, if that, because I found that in my early days of sobriety, I was having a busy days, going to the gym, you know, on writing, kind of investing time in all these practices that are going to help sustain my sobriety. So then in the evening, I was just from like maybe six onwards watching just TV and Netflix. And these are when the urges were the worst. So I was just like, and also it's very energy depleting to watch. Like, we do need levels of relaxation, but we don't need to sit in front of the TV and eat snacks and watch movies every day. Like I'm, that's not to disregard anyone that does that. But for me, it wasn't serving me. It wasn't helping me learn or grow. And like I said, like, the recovery for me is just, it's about learning and growing every day. So even when I'm chilling, I'm learning to give myself time to heal or relax. Like, everything for me has a certain place in my life, like everything I do. So it's just like social media, I'd say, is the one thing that I have to take breaks from, because like you said, that dopamine hit, whilst it helps me and I get to connect with people, I have to make sure that I'm doing it for the right reasons, and that I'm giving myself time off, because like, my future is something that I never prepared for. At 32, I am in debt. I've had zero structure in my life. So, you know, it all kind of got on top of me. And now I look at it as my time is my key to success. So how I spend that is going to pave the way for my future. And, you know, spending loads of hours on Instagram is not going to be beneficial to my future. So it's just separating the things that give you temporary happiness or dopamine from the things that are going to implement structure and planning into something that is more, I don't want to say credible, but, you know, something that's attainable. Mm-hmm. And it's just having a balance of both of those things. Like, everyone loves to feel good. So I have like snacks and, you know, you watch TV and you've got Instagram and writing and like different events and friends and stuff. But it's just balancing those two things and being very aware and vigilant that, am I overdoing it? Like, and your body tells you, don't you think? Like, and your mind. So you just have to trust, just feel, like you said, and just go with that feel. Like, intuition is such a huge thing for me, and just listen to that. Like, if your body's telling you you're tired or your brain's shutting down because it's too much posting or too much like repetitive, or even like workaholic, you know, just have some balance, I'd say. Like, but yeah, I definitely need to chill a little bit more. I'd say I don't relax that much, but I'm conscious of that, so yeah, that's something I definitely want to implement a little bit more. I hope I answered your question. I don't even know.
Yeah, no, that's, and that, yeah, the whole like needing to relax more, I think that's something we all kind of get caught up into, because we have all this energy now and we feel good. And then we've also maybe feel like we didn't accomplish very much in our drinking days. And now that we have the time and the energy, we want to like do all these things. Like, I was just talking to my brother the other night and I was telling him that I've accomplished more in my first year of sobriety than I have accomplished in any year of my entire life. And I'm going to be 43. And it's like, and when I say I accomplished, I'm not talking just like one area of my life. Like in all areas of my life, I have, you know, done so much work and healing and growth in 1 year. It is mind blowing. Like, and that just shows you how much alcohol keeps you small. And like, we don't get to live to our fullest potential because it needs you to keep coming back to it and like putting it in the forefront. And I love knowing that there's so many of us that are now able to like do all these things and tap into our potential and all these things that maybe we would have missed out in as society or community, things that people are going to like create or come up with. And with creativity, because I mean, my creativity just is like out of this world. Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, it's just been crazy. But to know that like everyone who gets sober feels that way, it's just exciting to think about all the things, all the potential that we're tapping into. And we need that, especially in these times. You know, we need people that are like clear-headed and can think and like come up with ideas. And it's just really, really exciting. But I know what you mean as far as, you know, getting caught up in the TV and that stuff's good. But yeah, knowing when it's starting to feel like if I'm on Instagram and I notice that I'm just kind of like scrolling and I'm feeling a little, I instantly get off, because it does, it needs to be intentional. And so I really try to keep myself in check with that. Like before I even open the app, like why am I even opening the app right now? Is it because it's a commercial break on TV and I feel like I really need to be stimulated? Or is it because I feel inspired to post something, or I'm feeling inspired to, you know, congratulate someone on my feed who's hit a mile marker? Like if we're intentional with these things, then it's doing what it's supposed to do, because it is supposed to be supportive and it is supposed to make you feel good. But like, mm-hmm. if you are starting to put your value into it, like with how many, are you just going to check your followers every 10 minutes? Are you going to check how many people liked your recent post? That's when it starts to just become like, once again, an unhealthy behavior, like the alcohol was, because now you're looking for it to validate you in a different way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, yeah, you just put it perfectly. That validation. And I've heard so many people talk about Instagram and social media in general being kind of that, gives you that hit of dopamine, if you like, and also that validation. And, you know, like, that's the thing about sobriety for me, is that that validation, that a lot of the reasons I drank was I experienced like abandonment, I'd say, as a child. And in turn, I craved attention and validation from childhood, probably my whole life. And I'm very aware of never doing that again. It's the recovery for me is not just not drinking. It's understanding all of the things that have held me back. And, you know, that's why we have to be conscious of it, because there's no point swapping one addiction for another. You know, I actually said to myself when I stopped drinking, oh, you know, maybe I could start smoking, or maybe I could just drink on holiday. And I just thought to myself, like, that's crazy, because I'm not gonna to take up another unhealthy practice just to replace one that I've let go of. It's not gonna benefit me. So it's just that kind of self-awareness of using healthy practices to grow, and using Instagram, just like you said, as a, you know, as a support tool and intentional. Like, that's going to stay with me as well. I need to write all this stuff down.
Well, we're recording it, so you can go back and listen to it if you
want. Okay, great. Watch every morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that you said that, because it's important that we, like, we just have this, there's so many parts of it, isn't it? That recovery and sobriety, and that you learn, and just like you mentioned about the creativity, like, Steph, like, no word of a lie, alcohol took all of my passion and creativity. I didn't realize it. I never even thought I was missing something. I was just completely brain dead and absent-minded to the fact that it was killing something inside of me. And when you're not, you don't use passion and creativity for the 10 years or so, you don't realize it's missing, because it's almost like it never was yours to begin with. And when I stopped drinking, that's one of the many things that came back to me. And I honestly don't want to get upset about this, but because there's so many parts of it, like, I mean, happy tears. There's so many parts of that things that I've gained back, but that is one of the most special, because expressing myself and writing, that is my number one passion. That's where my love is really at. It's how I connect my thoughts to words. It's such a process of healing for me. And like, I go to like these open mic poetry nights, and I like perform my poems, and, you know, doing that, like the feeling of doing that is such a feeling of, even though they're not going anywhere. And, you know, I don't do it for that reason. I do it because they're about matters very close to my heart. A lot of it about sobriety and recovery, and to know that creativity is still there and I never killed it completely is like such a lovely feeling. And it inspires me to stay on this journey, because I never thought I'd get that back. Like I said, I forgot I could even write. So yeah, like I don't know a person that is sober that regrets it, you know, that says, you know, this is terrible, or I hate this feeling, or I was better off, you know. Maybe in the early days you tell yourself these things, but
I think what it is too is like, yeah, it's really hard, because not only did you drown out that part of you, like your creativity and all of that, but the reason you drowned that out is because you were drowning out all the uncomfortable feelings and the things you didn't want to deal with. And so, yeah, you get sober and the first thing you think is like, okay, now I got to deal with all these things. And you do. But the reward is you also get your creativity back and you get your joy back. You get like pure joy. Like the type of joy you felt when you were a child, joy, is like the best way I can explain it. I never felt like that when I was a drinker, because you just baseline everything. Everything is just survival mode. And so you have to get through those hard emotions, but you're like rewarded with your creativity back and your joy back. And it makes it so worth it. Because soon these emotions, as you deal with them, they become easier and easier the further along you get, because you now have a new way of coping with things and you know how to identify them when they're coming up. And so when they come up, you just identify it. You know what you've done in the past to work through it. You work through it and you move on. And on the other side of that, for me at least, is always like extreme joy. Like if I have to get through like a hard thing that comes up, and I just feel like, the universe rewards me when I work through it properly and like physically move it through my body, whether that means I cry, I scream into a pillow, I go for a walk, whatever I have to do. I feel like because I've removed that negative feeling and energy and processed it, like the next day or two, I will just be overwhelmed with joy and happiness. And I feel like that's the universe like letting the light in, because I made room for it. They're like, here you go. Now this is, you know, this is why you do this. It's like a dog getting a treat after doing like a little treat. You know what I mean? Like, it's just amazing.
The way that you put that, that is amazing. Like, it's so profound. And it's just, wow. Like, I completely agree. Like, I never would have said it like that. But, you know, like, it's crazy, like the things that have happened to me in 3 months, Steph, like I'm talking like uncanny experiences and it just like you said, it's like you've made way for the light. And I just can't believe it. Like, it's like, I don't know if it's spiritual or it's, I don't even have a word for it, but it is definitely, it's this feeling of that joy that you mentioned, and that fulfillment. And I just feel lighter. Like I wake up with so much energy, and I wake up knowing that it's going to, even if it's not going to be a good day or something might happen along the way, like I know that I'm going to deal with it. and I'm going to process it, and I'm not going to turn on a coping mechanism that, like you said, baseline you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've not heard that term before actually, but and not just numb everything just so you can get through and just function. Like, I don't want to function, I want to live, and I want to live in like kind of in ecstasy at times, and I want to feel really joyful, not just temporarily happy. And it's so funny because the person I was a few years ago, and even hearing myself say this, like, I cannot believe I'm sitting here saying this, because it's like I'm rediscovering myself, and just, it's a complete transformation, like even of the mind, because I was just very much like, do what makes you happy now. But I think that joy, that there is an element of, for me personally, and this isn't for everyone, but, you know, I think I've had so much temporary happiness in my life, that what I'm really focused on achieving now is things that give you lasting joy. And that's not necessarily like, I'm not talking like permanent things that can't be transient, like a house, or, you know, not necessarily stuff like that, but, you know, the work, you know, like even learning something new about myself, like that is something that can't be measured. It's something that will last, because that memory will last. And it's small, it's very small achievements, but to me, they are the most joyous. And yeah, I guess you make way for the bigger ones. Like, I've got time, and you've got time. And just like when you said about your year, like, that's just amazing when you hear that, you know, someone else say that. And, you know, I always think of a year, and I do try to not be too fixated on time, like, oh no, like, that's why I said to myself when I got to like 70 days, I was like, I just want to get to 90. And then I was like, I spoke to a good friend of mine who's also in recovery, and he said that, you know, it's about what you put into the day. There's no point being 90 days and then relapsing, or you know, it matters about the work you put in. And getting to that year is obviously going to be a huge milestone, but it's what I've achieved by that year that matters to me. And yeah, I'm conscious of doing everything. Like, I'm just so grateful to have this second chance, honestly. Like, and I think because I'm 3 months sober today, I'm just like in awe, like just very emotional, and just feeling really positive about the whole thing. Like, I know that there is an option for fulfilling everything that I haven't done. And I could not have, like, I would have dreamt of doing things, but I never would have done them. Like, I was like a dreamer and a thinker, and I would say I was going to do stuff and never, ever see it to completion. So I just had lots of ideas that were just kind of ended up being failed or sunken dreams. And to know now that, like, I can make some of those things, bring them into this world. Like, yeah, it's a nice feeling. And even if I don't, it's like, at least I can say I really tried, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you finally have some confidence in yourself and you can trust yourself to follow through. And the more you follow through on your dreams and your ideas, the more you trust yourself. And then the more apt you are to do it again and go on to the next thing. And I mean, I host 2 podcasts as an introvert. If that doesn't inspire you.
I mean.
Because never, ever would I have imagined doing something like this.
I didn't even think of that, you know, like, it's, do you know, it's so interesting because I find that sobriety has like changed, like I've rewired a lot of things that I told myself.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you said that, that's the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, you probably would have said to yourself for years and years that I could never do that. But I find that when you're speaking to somebody about something that you love or you're passionate about,
you know, conversation does flow, and it's that connection with people. And just like we said, the authenticity, that sometimes you forget you're even hosting a podcast. Yeah. Like, it just runs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Autopilot kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, I'm really excited to see where this takes you, like your first year of sobriety, because you're already doing things in the community. Are you, so I saw that you were doing like a meetup. Are you going to start hosting meetups in your area? Cause I think that I know I should do it, cause I've said this before and Kate's like, you should just do it. No, that's not me. But I wish someone in the Omaha area would organize something like that. I would come, if I lived in London, I would be at your meetup all the time. Like you are just the perfect person to put something like that together, because you just have that warm, welcoming personality where everyone knows they're going to just feel so good showing up and doing that. So is this something you plan on doing for a while?
Oh my God. First of all, thanks for the compliments. That's really nice to hear. So do you know what? Like these things just keep coming up. Like I never expected to do the lives ever. I didn't even want my face on my profile. I just wanted it to be a behind the scenes videos and post. It just escalated and it just kind of happened and evolved naturally. The workshops, that as well happened. Like I volunteered for an organization which gives back to the community. And I do a lot of volunteering in my free time, and just I meet lots of people through it. And obviously being an extrovert, I start chatting to everyone. And this was an opportunity that, you know, like have you heard of Eventbrite? Yeah.
Yes.
So it was basically, I just always go to lots of free events on Eventbrite. And I thought to myself, like, I would love to host this. Like, not only do I love attending the events, but I've got so many ideas, and I love poetry and writing, and so do lots of other people. So surely I can do something for the sober community. And I don't just do it for the sober community. Like I do like other workshops for empowering women and like so on, but it's just something I started, and I had my first workshop last weekend, and I'm just going to keep putting on as many as I can. They're free. I just want people to have a safe space to talk, and it doesn't have to be like a sit around a circle talking just about, you know, alcoholism and your feelings, but fun exercises that help you think about the stigmas of alcoholism, the stigmas of sobriety. Like there's a lot of celebrities that are sober now. It's just, there's so many fun, creative ways that you can learn and explore sobriety and alcoholism and spread a message to this big world out there that knows nothing about it. Like, I want to take this message so far and to every single part of this world. So you have to start somewhere. And yeah, like, I just want people to be in a place where they can express themselves. I do have this feeling, Steph, that this sober community is going to grow so much, and I'm so happy to be part of it. Like honestly, like to see people drinking consciously or to think about stopping even if they don't have a problem, and just people being more alcohol conscious everywhere. I think the main thing for me is really spreading awareness about addiction and that changing that stigma to alcoholism. And that's, I want to spread the message that I was an alcoholic at 18. You know, it escalated. It was progressive. I never dreamed I would drink on my own. You know, and you said it earlier, you know, like it's interesting how we want to stop, you know, like what mom wants to be part of mummy wine culture and know that we don't want this. We don't want to drink till 6 in the morning on our own. We know we're not happy with these changes, but like you said, how do we stop? It never seems to be enough, even though we fill our lives with shame and regret and promise ourselves we'll change. That's somehow not enough. And I love that you pointed out earlier that it's looking into the past, not why, how we want our future to change, but realizing why we did. And until people talk about addiction and get comfortable with it, people aren't going to have a platform to share or spread their own experiences, because they're going to feel ashamed. No matter how much I speak about and think about these, you know, recovery in the past and sobriety, there's always something new I learn and think about. It's very thought provoking. And just to anyone that is listening, or, you know, sober curious or struggling, just connect with someone and just like try to change that narrative and try and understand the reasons why you drink and tap into that. Cause there's always some kind of trauma or insecurity, a deeper reason why. The alcohol isn't what we want. It's almost what it does for us. I think once you tap into why and what that's serving temporarily, you've got half the solution. Like that is the only way I was able to stop. I had to change the narrative. I had to stop seeing alcohol as inviting and that I was missing out on, and see it for what it really was.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today. Remember, I am just a woman on a mission to normalize sobriety and living a sober lifestyle. I am not a licensed therapist or a doctor. Please, if alcohol is causing serious physical or mental health issues, seek professional help. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to hit follow so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, leaving a 5-star review will help this podcast reach more people like you in the sober community. It's an easy way to spread the word in normalizing a sober lifestyle. You should never feel alone in sobriety, so feel free to reach out to me via email or through my Instagram account @ThisIsStephSober. Links to both are listed in the show notes.